Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, it's sort of like it's part one of a two-part series that I'm doing on a deep dive and supporting you becoming like the hero, the heroic husband of your bedroom. It's such an important role for us as husbands, as lovers, as men in our marriage, is to be able to hold our own in the bedroom. And I don't know about you, like maybe some of you were lucky enough to grow up with like your dad was this tantra practitioner and he just like knew what the whole masculine and feminine embodied sacred sexual attractive dance was together, and you just got to submerge into that sort of a presence, and you saw that with your mom and your dad practice together, and you know, ultimately I don't fucking think any of you witness that in your dad integrating, you know, doing the sacred masculine and feminine dance with your mother, because ultimately if you did, well, you wouldn't be reaching out at this point to listen to this podcast, and that's okay, because why? We didn't have like the generation of our dads before us, and hey, if your dad wasn't on the scene, it was stepdads, etc. I mean, there weren't very high-end practitioners or awarenesses within the culture of what a masculine and feminine dance was. And definitely when it comes to, like, you know, within the bedroom, you know, whatever we might have witnessed of, you know, some bit of use or some bit of good intention practice and communication at the dinner table and holidays, you know, around the family home, it's very, very rare. The family upbringing that had, you know, sexual expression, had conversations about sex in a deeply meaningful and intimate way, you know, father, son, or at the kitchen table, that it became like a beautiful melting pot of sexual exploration, and curiosity was welcome, and the conversation would go there, would go anywhere where the developing child into teenager into young adult could have this sounding board of, hey, I've been trying this, does that work, why do you do that, like what works, blah 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 blah. Nothing near it was in existence. Myself and my queen with our girls now, it's like I often laugh, it's like that my daughters know more at the ages, like they're 9 and 13 now. I've been saying this since, you know, the last 2-3 years, that they know more now at their current age than I did in my early 20s when I met my queen first, about sex. We have a really radically open and transparent conversation about it, to levels of explicitness that, like, you know, would shock most of people out there, would definitely shock the me of like maybe 5 years ago. But we've learned that the girls are like really curious, they're open, and they're actually very grounded already in their sexual identity. And it's a beautiful thing. But yourself and myself, almost by default, by assumption, we didn't have that. So it's a really important topic. I will put my hand up. Like, there's this part of me, like, to be honest with you, you know, the more you know, the more you know you don't know type thing. I've been doing a deep dive into sacred intimate relating, masculine and feminine dynamics, conversational, how you bring that peace and harmony, how you stop resenting your woman and actually start relating, taking extreme ownership, that it's my mind creating the relationship. It's my message that I'm transmitting evokes the response from her, and taking that sort of kingly extreme ownership. I will say and state that there, like, a big growth edge or growth area for me is sacred deep intimacy, at a very profound spiritual level. I don't have a level to be able to teach to that, but what I will own is, I've spoken before of my sexual shame and Roman Catholic Ireland upbringing. Like, I mean, sex was not on The table metaphorically, and I don't think physically speaking either at all ever in my household growing up. But what I do have is like a really great experience in over the last number of years, 4 or 5 years, and before that, I was reading Dayuan and tons of teachings. Is finding what are these hacks, these simple to implement ideas in the bedroom that have really transformed my capacity to build a slow but progressive increase in my confidence in my sexual capacity. Today's episode is very much about getting out of your head. It's like first part is getting out of your head and getting into your body. I'm focusing on this because I don't know about you, but I know most guys that I speak with on this topic, getting stuck in your head is like a major issue to like surrendering and softening into a profound way the sexual experience and dance with your woman. So much so that in the vast majority of cases, it is the wife that loses interest in sexual relating first, not the husband. Because, from a level, it's like we want to get it on. We gotta like what's the term I've heard guys saying? It's not really one that I grew up with. Get your rocks off. Is that the term? We want to like we want to get our bit. We want to like we have this like we have needs. It's like that part of that masculine male core is like I've needs, woman. It's like but what we're actually talking about is like there's this build up of sexual energy. There's this build up in my system, and it's like man, it just gets to this like pressure cooker point of like man, I've needs. Like I need to get this to express this in some way, shape, or form, and it's this like real potent force in us, but to meet the feminine needs in lovemaking is very much it's the practice must be getting into our body, getting out of our head, getting out of this like ejaculatory orgasmic focus at the end. That's actually one of the points in this in these 10 points. And getting present in that nanosecond present moment, being fully with her in your body, that's a major challenge for the vast majority of it. So let's jump in. We're going to go through this. It's 10 points. For me personally, to build a context, most of these you can do deep tantric work, you can deepen it to a super profound level. But I'm coming at the context that if you're like me, like the regular dude, great loving intentionality, you want to show up better, but maybe, maybe you'll follow that deepening spiritual tantric journey beyond this container. But you just want to know, down and dirty, powerful hacks and ideas that you can implement immediately. Like, I mean, from later on tonight, you're listening to this and you take two or three of your favorite ones and you just go at it full on implementation. They will make a massive difference. They really do make a massive difference. So it's like I have found all of these that when I've used them in the beginning, they made a big difference. And I played with some of them in the beginning. Now I try to mix them all up in together. And hey, what I would say is like there's times when it's not going so good, and I actually realize, man, I'm just going with the old style thing. I'm just trying to get a hard on, get in there, get the job done. Ejaculation. That surrender bliss. The petit mort, as they say in French, is like little death. You're just that blissful, oh yeah, surrender into that. It's like there's no feeling like it. But my wife can be there going, yeah, great, well done. You've had a good job. So, okay, bringing that humorous humility but sincere humility into it. I don't nail this always, but when I do nail it, and when my wife, I've nailed it and I've had a beautiful whole bodied experience as well. But very importantly, my queen has had a simultaneous, deeply satisfying sexual experience with me. You can bet your bottom dollar I am practicing some or all of these. So let's jump in. Point number one, the breath, the breath, the breath. In the culture here at Be the Husband, she brags about, and within Heroic Husbands and the men's circles and one-on-one work, I keep talking to guys like to calmly assert the importance of breath awareness. Your breath is what sets the tone in your nervous system. It's like the thermostatic control. You go into your house, it's a little bit warm, like I'll turn down the thermostat. Your breath is what sets that, is the thermostat control of like the energetic message that you're transmitting, where your nervous system is at. And where your nervous system is at is where your energy is going to be at and how your woman can feel and tune into you. The simplest thing, without going into tons of like beautiful, powerful, potent tantric breathwork exercises, and there's many of them, and they're beautiful and amazing in and of themselves. The simplest breath practice that is available to every single one of you listening in. It doesn't matter if you're like myself of a few years ago and like you just feel thick and ignorant in this and you've never done this, and maybe it's a total edge like it was for me to even start talking or listening to stuff about sex. No matter where you're at, this is accessible to every single one of you. Breathe deeply. Start practicing deep breathing. I would say in through your nose, sort of out through your mouth. And the exhale, we'll talk, that's the second part that's really important. But the first part is nasal breathing. Nasal breathing creates, I think it's a nitric oxide. I hope I'm getting the chemical correctly. I was in the preparation for this. I didn't take the note for it, but it's nasal breathing in creates nitric oxide that really helps open up the blood vessels. It's a vasodilator, so it opens up the blood vessels, so it opens up all your nervous system, your lungs, and importantly, the vessels that open up the erection to come. So nasal breathing is important. Start practicing deep breathing. Now, deep breathing is breathing in down through your front. So it's breathing in and opening up chest and expanding tummy. And if you can get to that feeling, you can practice this outside the bedroom, but let's just keep it like within the bedroom now, assuming that you're just going to do it within your lovemaking session with your queen. Practicing breathing down your front, the energy, it's like sending the breath energy down to your chest, expanding physically your tummy area, and then sending like a pressure that you feel, that breath energy and pressure down at your pelvic muscles, pushing into your genital area. You breathe like that, it's like it's opening up your nervous system, going down, bringing sexual energy and allowing sexual energy flow down your front, the core sexual channels in your body, and opens up, just an aliveness in you. Breathing deeply. I could go into so much more details as to what that is doing, but all I want you to know in this episode is this really works to get you out of your head and into your body. The masculine, like the thing of getting out of your head and into your body, like in heroic husbands, men's circles, we talk a lot. It's like in the culture, it's like get into your body and then get into your body and then make love. Get into your body and then have the conversation. Get into your body and then hold space for your kids. Get into your body and then, it's about getting into your body, get out of your head and into your body. Breathing deeply, it's amazing. It will transform your sex life. That in and of itself, practicing that. Get to number two. Get sensual. Now I will speak. Oh man, like my queen was asking me like about, for me to be more sensual and sensitive and in my body, and for years, fuck, it irritated me. Because why? Deep down, I didn't know how. I didn't know what that meant. And being sensual, I had so much shame and conditioning from bullshit. Do I call them teachers? They were trying to teach me shit, but like subconsciously teach. They weren't teachers or mentors, but they were the ones that were trying to educate me directly and indirectly about like ways of sexuality and how to relate with women and how to be a man ultimately. It wasn't actually on the topic of sex, but how to be a man. Being sensual was the pussy's game, was the feminine game, was too feminine. There was fucking bullshit and like homophobic. It's like, oh, blame it, like, oh, that's so gay. There was all of that crap, and it's like it's total crap. Actually, man, it's like I wish it was more like, it's like I've met lots of gay men in deep men's work, and they also say, it's like, hey, dude, you've put it on gay guys. man, there's like we have the same struggles to be with that. So we had all of this bullshit conditioning and mindset that getting sensual and in your body, you know, like to dance as a man, you know, like dancers being very sensual and in touch with your body and movement and, you know, like touching yourself, etc., etc. That was wrong. So I want to nod and bow to that type of conditioning that so many of us have experienced. But we got to get over those childhood bullshit stories and conditioning from outer society. Like, they don't fucking work. We grew up in a profoundly sick society, so we got to put that shit on the shelf. I just say it that, hey, if you're triggered, if this sort of, the word being sensual triggers you, I get you, man, on a profound level. But we got to get the fuck over ourselves and do whatever is necessary as kings. Boy energy keeps that old shit and goes like, oh, I'm not going to do that. And it's like, I don't like that. It's not what I want to do. I, in terms of, I do what I want to do and I don't do what I don't want to do. So that's boy energy. King energy is about doing what you need to do to show up as a powerful king in the bedroom in a way that's beautiful and meaningful, to get out of your head and into your body, get sensual. What that means is focus on sensations you are experiencing. You know, what are your eyes looking at? You know, you're looking at, just surrender into that, like the sight. You're looking at your woman's eyes. You're looking at her lips. And it's like, feel the full experience of that. If you're caught in your head, your eyes, you're not, actually, if you're caught in your head a lot of times, your eyes are closed. But it's like, look at your woman's body. Look at her sacred garden, her pussy, her vagina. Look at that area. Look at the curves. Look at her breast. Look into her eyes. Look at her, you know, just look at her moving and just surrender into that. That's sensual. It's like you're using this sense of sight to enjoy pleasure. Like, feel the skin touch. I was not doing any of this. I had years where I was like just camping out, fantasizing of other women, actually, for years. I've shared that with you before. So I had major issues in getting into my body, getting sensual. Like, this really supported me. It's like touching, it's like feeling like the tickle or the sensation of like where I'm touching, feeling the heat on one part where we're skin to skin and it's cool on another part. And, you know, if my queen caressed me or if just in like the tussle and the tug together, it's like what I was feeling in my body. Just really touching base and putting my awareness on what I was feeling or what I'm hearing. Like when I hear her, if my eyes are closed, I'm surrendering. I'm in my body. Like in moments, it's good to close your eyes sometimes. It can be a support, guys, to close your eyes to get feeling sensually. Sometimes the eyes open in the beginning can be a bit of a distraction. But you, for momentarily, it's good. It's a good practice to, not for the whole lot of lovemaking, but like in some moments, it's like you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to get sensual. I'm going to surrender into this practice of experiencing sensually what I'm feeling and experiencing through my senses. You might hear her moan and you're seeing her move and feeling her move and the hearing, you're hearing her breath deepen. It actually becomes quite a beautiful turn on. When you get really present with that and like you get fully present, or the smells, what are you smelling? You know, there's been research done where the smell of the hormones and the smell of, you know, her sacred garden or the smell of her body, you know, the smell of her sweat. There's all of this sanitized bullshit out of like, you know, like we have to have perfumes and deodorants. The interesting thing was, is that when they did physiological markers of sexual arousal in people, it's like it was the smell, it was the down and dirty primal smells of the body, of sweat, of pheromones, of like the bodily fluids that turned people on the most. And it was like anybody that was smelling like perfumes and stuff, it's a turn off. It switches off the sexual arousal in the body. So yeah, get sensual. Get out of your head. Start focusing on what you're feeling, what you're experiencing through your senses. Sight, skin touch, hearing, etc. In that moment. Number three, make eye contact. Yes, it's one of the senses, but it's a specific practice in and of itself. I don't know about you, but like for so many years, and I still got to, I speak quite often about, hey, there's protective patterns. and there's presence patterns. Presence patterns are what we're looking for in deep intimate relating, is to open up presence patterns. But protective patterns are patterns in our nervous system that we learned to do, to go to escape emotional intensity, to escape pain. And eye contact, like dropping off from eye contact, is one key thing that like the vast majority of men have done as a protective pattern, because, you know, keeping eye contact with your mother when she was upset, or with your dad, with other people, with other girlfriends, etc. It's like dropping eye contact. It stirs up so much emotionality in us, and it's like sort of emotionally confronting that we have learned to subconsciously just, you know, like close the eyes, grunt, grind pelvises together, penetration only, we get the job done, and we cross our fingers and hope that, you know, our wife will have some bit of pleasure beyond that, and we quadruply cross her thumbs and energetically say prayers to the gods of sexuality that she'll somehow think that that's sufficient over the long term. It ain't. It ain't. You know, again, statistically, women, our wives, are the first ones to go, I'm not fucking interested in this experience anymore, because we're so caught in our heads, ultimately, in a superficial lovemaking. Making eye contact is this simple, it's simple to take it on as a practice. It's quite an intense thing to do. It's very engaging and stimulating, but done in a mindful, loving, intentional way to just, even like I'd say to my queen, it's like, baby, hey, I want to look in your eyes. She gave me feedback for years. It's like, she's, hey, you're always have your eyes closed. And man, fuck, I was doing shit in my mind that I've owned that with her since. But I just didn't know how to make eye contact. And she was giving me the feedback, and I eventually led that experience. And I was like, the one I would say now is like, baby, hey, just look in my eyes. I want to see your eyes, baby. Let's, you know, let's join together. And it's beautiful. It's, and really, if there's any, and hey, like, I try to get myself in my body previous, there's a setup to lovemaking. But there's days where, hey, it's just, there's like a super full day and intense shit was going on. And man, I come into the space, it's on Tantra Thursday, or, you know, lovemaking spontaneously happens. I'm a bit in my head, or I'm a lot in my head. Making eye contact, boy, that rattles me out. It's like, I've got to be present. If I, to remain stuck in my head, I've got to, I just break eye contact. When I bring eye contact there, I'm there with her. It's like, I now know she's like completely locked in with me. I've got to be with her. A beautiful, beautiful practice in forming that connection and getting out of your head and present with her. And when you're present with her, eye to eye, loving gaze, she's feeling you. She feels safe. She knows you're there. So a beautiful, profound practice. Again, in and of itself, if you just practice that in your next lovemaking, and I'm really hoping you're feeling inspired, like during all of this, to feel, you know, I've got strategies, man. You know that rational power of you? Like most guys, you know, we self-declare as being rational beings. Well, it's a superpower we have sharpened on the way up. But like, these are ideas and strategies and ways, you know, that you can, things you can implement that can transform everything for the better. So that rational mind, I hope you get black and white and you're listening out. This is epic shit to transform your sex life into being, showing up more and more like that sexual god that she's going to want him to fuck more and more often. Like, more progressively as you go along, she's going to more progressively want to do that sexual dance with you, rather than what is the assumed norm. It's like, oh, it's just, it's a normal, natural part of, like, you know, sex life, you know. And like, we put it on, oh, well, she's like getting near menopause now, and like, you know, when you go beyond, it's like, it's a natural part. It's a natural part of marriage, like being married, like, you know, sex drive goes. It's fucking bullshit. Sex drive deepens and expands and gets better and better, not just in like the frequency, but the depth, if you bring it to it and if you do what works. So, number four, express with words exactly what you're loving in the moment. You know, there's this thing of appreciation. Women grow by appreciation, but like, express appreciation of what what your queen is doing or what you're experiencing, and like let her know immediately. It's like, oh baby, I just love, like, you know, I love one particular thing I've like been noticing recently is like when my queen really gets expressive in her body, she's feeling the sexual energy and she's just started moving her hips, and is it undulating? It's like just her spine is waving. It's like she's lying, but her spine is moving. Pelvis is moving. Her head is tilting back and her breasts are on show. It's like, man, it's like such a turn on. I, for years, was like, oh God, it was like the Roman Catholic sexual, like it's like, oh, I shouldn't be enjoying. It's like, fuck that. It's like this condition that like we're feeling embarrassed, or I was feeling embarrassed, and I know guys have said this to me. It's like, yeah man, it's like this feeling of embarrassment that you know there's sort of like, we look at porn, we look at a Playboy, we've looked at movies, and we're like, we like looking at the feminine body, and we like find it's an attractive thing, that's a beautiful natural thing as a man, like if that's your sexual orientation, it's a beautiful natural thing. But there's been this fucking horrible guilt ridden shaming of men are just sex oriented, so we end up like having this fucking weird fucked up way of like when we're relating with our queen to actually express that and go, I'm enjoying you, like, you know, that, you know, oh baby, you know, she's giving you a blowjob, or she's kissing you, or she's doing something and she's moving about you, whatever it is, and to just openly go, hey baby, oh, you know, more of what you're doing, please. That's so enjoy. Oh, they're like, and tell her, it's like, oh, there's just waves of sexual energy. There's just waves of electricity just like around my cock. There's like flooding down across my chest into my tummy. It's like, oh man, this is just, oh, more, please. That turns her on and it gives her direct feedback in the moment. It's like, you're enjoying it. It's good. You know, it's like, not just like hump, hump, hump. Oh, he's come. Well, he must have enjoyed it. No, give her in the moment again. And to do this, you've got to be in your body. You've got to be present with what's showing up in your body. And like, does that way she's caressing your butt, or she's, you know, she's kissing you, kissing your neck, is like, is that enjoyable? And even if it's just a little bit, let her know. It really helps activate, get you out of your head, into your body. And it really supports her in knowing, hey, he's fucking enjoying this. If he's explicitly telling me, I'll do more of it. Number 5. This is really exciting to be actually speaking to this topic. Number 5. Move your body, man. It's like, again, it's this part of this sensual sort of connection. It's like moving your body, you know. The strong man is the uptight man. I'm strong, you know, I'm firm, strong, powerful, masculine, alpha male, you know, stand to attention, sir, fucking military style mode. It's like, you know, you go out in a sporting field, boom, and you hit guys, and we end up stiffening up, taking ourselves too serious. We get caught in our heads, you know, bodily, musculoskeletal tension. Psychosomatically, we're bringing a lot of stress in our bodies from our day, from the work arena, corporate world, man, can feel really overwhelming. Like you come home, all of you guys, great intention guys, you know, new generation of men doing a lot more around the house than the generations that went before us. Man, you're pushing your body and there's a lot on you. So what we end up bringing to bed is a body that is tightened up, that is stiff. There's a lot of cultural sort of conditioning that like a man doesn't move, you know, sensually in his body. Again, that sort of like, you know, dance class growing up in school. Like you didn't have a ton of guys putting a hand up to go to dance class. You had a ton of guys going, oh, let's go to gym. Let's five-a-side soccer or like fucking rugby or American football, baseball, sporting, wrestling, fucking, ah, you know, it's like, a lot of that is like tightening up, hard, aggressive, you know, work hard, play hard type mentality. And yet, even within, if you look at actually just to bring that masculine mentality and mindset, the greatest performers in UFC, the greatest performers in basketball at the highest level of sporting endeavors around the world, the greatest performers, they're actually present in their body, that they remain loose, you know, they're loose in the movement, they're loose because they're so in flow in that moment. To be in flow at that peak performance state of sporting endeavor, you're loose, you're very in your body, relaxed, and super responsive. So, a lot of that conditioning growing up about, oh, what it means to be a man, a masculine, the best performers that we are inspired by so much in those arenas are actually very loose and in their body. So, from that inspiration, bring that into your love life. Move your body, move your hips, tussle with your woman, like move on top, get her on top, move to the side, move around, hold her in close. Man, like respectfully but beautifully and provocatively, like just sort of throw her around, like just take her body, take ownership of it. Unapologetically get into your primal body. Like when you're feeling sexual energy, it's a really red hot energy. And use it as a practice first. If you're like me, sexual shame and that, you might feel awkward or inhibited. Do it as a practice. But like just start moving your hips. Sort of like you can do it like dry humping, but you're moving your hips. You mightn't be actually have penetrated her yet, but move your hips. Your nervous system knows, like, okay, he's moving his hips like that. Well, that's a precursor to what? It's like, making love. Move your hips, move your shoulders, move your head. Bring movement into your body and move with her body. Move your entire body. Another amazing one. It's like quite literal. It's like if you start moving your body, you're gonna be in your body. Out of your head, into your body. Remember, this is like the first part, two pillars of making love in the moment. One, the first pillar is get into your body, get out of your head and into your body. Number six, pleasure exhales. This was like a deeply challenging, provocative thing for me. That sexual shame, that inhibition. I felt embarrassed, I felt awkward. Making sounds of pleasure on your exhale. It's like, it's like, just really going with it. On your exhale, long and profound and deep, and have your exhale, it's like it's just coming from the depths of your tummy, the depths of your sexual centers down your genitals, like your exhale comes from there. What this does is like technically it opens your vagus nerve. In meditation, you'll know there's multiple different mantras, but one is like where you people who sit together and chant Om. So it's like Om, and if you sit with that experience, it's like you can feel the vibration going up from the depth of your tummy all the way up and into your nasal cavity and beyond. It's like it's opening up your whole vagus nerve. Vagus nerve is the nerve that goes down and it activates it. Connects your cranial brain with your heart brain and your gut brain. It's super important to access that. A lot of shaming of emotionality and sensitivity in men growing up as young boys, we ended up blocking off the vagal nerve tone. We really blocked it off a lot, so we'd stop feeling what our heart was feeling, and that the wisdom of our heart and gut brain, which like just went head up. That's why we say it's like, oh, I'm a rational minded man, like I'm very rational. It's a true statement. It's like I think with my brain. I experience life through my brain. I interpret the world through my cranial brain. But sounds of pleasure. On the exhale, again and again and again, and even before, like especially maybe before penetrative making love. Oh yeah, baby. Mix it up with the other ones. Oh baby, and then tell her more of that, please, as you exhale that sounds of pleasure again. Opens the vagus nerve, heart brain, gut brain, and it just activates your whole body in that moment, which allows more of that sexual energy to freely flow in the body. You don't have to get into the Tai Chi, the woo-woo sort of parts of it, but it's from a neurophysiological part, it really supports your body coming alive to the sexual experience. Again, it's a bit like the expressing words with your queen of telling her explicitly what you're loving in a moment. Exhaling, like as a practice, as a way of, yeah, getting into your body, But it's explicitly letting her know you're experiencing pleasure. Guys, this helps her surrender. This helps her in her self-doubt, in her wondering, in her questioning. She wants to pleasure you. She wants to know that, man, like, my king is enjoying this experience. If you don't make any sound with your voice until, like, the end where it's like, you know, you're humping and it's like, man, I've been there. It's like, I laugh. It's like, if you're here one-on-one or in a group, like, we'd be laughing together because every guy is like, oh, yeah. You know, it's like, that's about the only, you know, breath sound she gets is when I'm, like, in that last fucking straight, you know, you know, like, that final exhale when you've, like, you've dumped your load, you know, it's like, and it's like the whole air has just been left out of the inflatable fucking doll that she's been on. It's like, you know, like, cool. Well, that exhale as a sign of your pleasure, it's a little bit late for your woman, you know? Like, a lot of the time, it's a lot too late for your woman, because it's like, hey, man, like, you've dumped your load and she's still there waiting. But even if you've brought her masterfully to pleasure, you know, like, to orgasm through whatever other means, like, kudos to you. But you take back a big portion of the pleasure she can experience the whole way along. Again, the feminine is about the pleasure of the experience. The feminine in you, but definitely the feminine front and center in your woman, is the pleasure of the sexual, deep, intimate connection with you in every moment of the lovemaking experience. Our conditioning is it's all about the pump, 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 explode, ejaculate. That's our biggest pleasure. She's really wanting to be met with pleasure in the body, in the moment. Again, deep intimacy. Into me you see. Like, into me you see. Well, it's like, here, I'm inviting you in with pleasurable exhales. It's obvious. It might feel exaggerated, but actually practice exaggerating. It's like, oh, yeah. You know, make it audible. That's actually probably a good edge practice. If you're feeling uncomfortable with how much you're doing it, practice doing that. Number 7. There's sort of an outside one to get into your body. There's a holistic approach. You know, don't be having it. Like, if you're drinking like 5-6 coffees per day, don't be shocked if you're struggling to get into your body and your head is working overdrive. If, like, you've been coffeeed up the whole day, or you're taking like a Red Bull or these drinks with stimulants in them the whole time, as a crutch for keeping your mental energy going through the day. You know, a practice of meditation, breath work, beautiful. You know, keeping yourself physically fit, that your body, your bloodstream, your blood pressure, it's all intact. That, you know, it's love making is not like an undue stress on your nervous system or your cardiovascular system, to actually, that you have the nervous system and the cardiovascular system and musculoskeletal fitness to actually meet the moment, to meet the challenge. You know, that it's not a challenge. You're actually fully there. Your body and nervous system is comfortable with the experience. That's lifestyle choices. So I want to bring that in. It's an important part. It's not, that's maybe one of the ones, like, it's maybe a little bit out of integrity with what I promise in this list, is like immediate ones that if you practice them in the lovemaking, that's a bit more holistic, but it's important to bring in. I'm gonna take a moment here and get some water on board. I get so passionate. I really love, like, imagining, like, that you're there in front of me. I literally, like, if you looked at me, if you had a video of me, anytime I'm doing, like, a solo episode, you'd be looking at me going, man, who the fuck is he talking to? That dude, if you just had a video and you saw me in a room by myself, computer in front of me, and, like, I'm there and I'm like, you'd be like, the dude is cracked. I actually really do it because I have, like, a long list of faces that I have met, like, so many of you at this point, like, it's a beautiful expanding list of faces that I have. So I literally have, like, guys in the men's group, your faces come up. I get to know you in a deeply intimate way. One-on-one coaches, your faces come up. Guys on discovery calls, and then just energetically, I, like, passionate, I know, Like it might be type messages, and some guys, hey, it's cool. We might never exchange any communication, be it like digital communication or live over Zoom, seeing your face, you seeing my face, whatever. And that's cool too. Man, you're all part of this audience, but I'm just really passionate to be here. That's why I have to slow down every now and then just to get a drink, to remember that practice. Where am I on this list? Lifestyle. Okay, number eight. This is one I love. This has really supported me transform my sexual experience and how I have been able to start the journey. And I say it's a journey. I still have an edge of bringing my fullness to sexual relating with my queen, as I say, protective patterns. There's a lot more momentum with them than the presence patterns that these practices bring and getting into my body. But one that really supported me, and I literally practice it now. I don't know about you, but I have had, and it still comes up, is like this performance anxiety. Like the background of my nervous system, this is from a trauma-informed perspective. Again, it's like our queens, and I, by extension, I want you to take this. I'd love you to take this on board. It's a very healing perspective, but they're not expecting perfection. But they're expecting and wanting and yearning and rightfully demanding when they're in the full queen mode, they demand this is a feeling that we're present, we're showing presence and progress, improving levels of presence, improving levels of embodied progress. They're not ever looking for perfection. So take that off your back. Take that weight that you've been carrying that it's like, man. You know, I'm trying to be perfect because why? We so many of us, the vast majority, we learn this sort of be a good boy, predominantly reared by our mothers. We did the whole, we set these protective patterns of do the things that pleases her, brings a smile to her face, don't do all the other stuff. And that brings a lot of like unnecessary baggage into the bedroom where like we're trying to be perfect and we're so frightened of her not liking what we're doing that we stop doing and we stop trying new stuff and we end up having this anxiety, this background anxiety coming in. I want to hold my hand up and say, hey man, I like that's almost omnipresent there. I have to get into like a you know these sports people that to get into like a streak of scoring goals and now they're all confidence. You'll hear these sports people, it's like, oh, he's a confidence player. If I get into a streak, sometimes that anxiety is not there, but a lot of the time I'm playing with that. This is one hack that has really helped me get my nervous system like to snap out of that anxiety, that fear that I'm just gonna not perform, I'm not gonna pleasure, it is not gonna be a nice experience, is the act as if principle. This is one of the most potent psychological tools out there. For any level of performance, is to literally like act as if you are like a sexual tantric practitioner master that you've like been teaching the world for 30 years high-end sexual performance and like depth of just imagine like act as if you're just a stud in the bed. Act as if you're not like you've reached a peak. You are an ultra confident man in the bedroom. And you just go for it. And like, if you bring this and you join this, act as if you've always been, you know, moving your body in the bed. Like you act as if, hey, moving your entire body and trusting that, you just act as if you've done that your whole life. Like you're just like an absolute fucking sexual superstar. You always have been, or you've done all the work 30 years previous, 20, 10 years previous, and you're just a fucking master. You move your body. You act as if this is the most natural thing and I just do it. Tonight might be your first time that you've ever done that or making eye contact. Act as if, this is like really potent when you are practicing something new. Act as if making eye contact is the most beautiful thing. You just know your every single cell in your body. You act as if every single cell in your body knows that eye contact is a beautiful thing. You're going to practice it. You're not going to practice, like, that allows you practice eye contact in an open-hearted, relaxed way, not with, eye contact with a background of anxiety. Am I doing this right? Like, eye contact with you screaming, I'm anxious, and like there's more a questioning look in your eyes. It's like, your eyebrows are sort of looking, there's tension in your face. You're looking at her, but you're looking at her communicating a message of, what the fuck? Are you okay, baby? Is this okay? And then she's like, oh, dude, like just like stop doing that. And you're like, you could come back to me and go, oh, but I tried the eye contact, but she didn't like it. Act as if you just have confidence. Make eye contact. Soft, loving, confident eye contact. Act as if getting sensual, being in your body, you've done it your whole life. You're fucking at one with that. Act as if breathing deeply is the practice that you've done for 10 or 20 years. I'm going to breathe down the front of my body, breathe down that energy, open up my like cock and ball energy. I'm going to do that. Act as if you are a master of lovemaking. The act as if, it's like it allows you take your persona, take your doubts and all of this, who you think you are. And we one of our main issues as men is we fucking think we know who we are. Like we will defend with like tooth and nail our own limitations. But if you defend your limitations, you get to keep your limitations. It's one of these things. Act as if allows us put our persona on the wall, our self-doubt, all of those, the tapestry, the protective patterns, and go, man, what if I just showed up? It's like what an actor does, literally. Act as if, like a great actor can act super charismatic on screen, and they can be deeply like they can be a loner. They can be the most introspective, non-attention seeking person off screen, but they act as if and they're totally convincing. That's available to you. Act as if. Act as if you're super confident in the bedroom and just go with it. Number nine. So it's the second part of like expressing your words exactly for what you're loving in a moment. That's expressing to your queen, hey, baby, what you're doing, boy, am I enjoying it now? The flip side of that is in the moment, express what your desires are. Ask for what you want. Again, this is a super edge practice for me, still is. It's like I'm slowly but surely realizing, and I've had to spend like quite a bit of time for myself to get safety and communication. But hey, like I when I learned this as a practice, it was like I went with it. It's like, hey, baby, for me, asking like for blowjob, asking for hand job, asking for asking for what I desire to do with her. It's like, hey, baby, I want to go down on you right now. Like, are you on for this? You can put it in if you're asking to do something with her. It's like you can put it in, consent oriented making love. It's conscious practice. It's like, express your desire and then put it in confidently. It's like, are you on for this? Would that turn you on to do that? To have that done to you now? Do you want to meet me in that experience, baby? Express your desires. Ask for what you want. And the flip side of that, this is actually a bonus extra, is like, let her know what is not working in that moment in a beautiful, open-hearted way. Dewey Freeman was a beautiful guest several months ago. He's like, I love you, and baby, just that's not working right in this moment. And then express another, I'd love, baby, I'd love if you could kiss me now. Like, I love you, and that thing you're doing just now isn't working. Make sure it's open-hearted and soft when you're expressing, what just isn't working in that moment. Let her know, open-hearted, I love you, baby, and that just isn't working for me. And it could be a blowjob. It could be something that like normally does, but just in that moment, whatever. And just honor that part. I love you, and that's just not working for me, baby. But hey, what I'd love you to do, or what I'd love to do with you, is back it up. Lead with your desire. Number 10, last but not least, and this is like the overall mindset. Make pleasure the goal, not orgasm. I mentioned this earlier on, but like masculine practice, or like the masculine part of masculine leadership, I spoke to this before in other episodes, is like progress, A to B, We get from A, we go to B. And that needs to be counterbalanced with presence in masculine leadership. And the vast majority of men get stuck in A to B. It's like, I'm at point A, I want to get to B. It works at work, it works in sporting endeavors. I set a goal. A goal is to find A, my starting point, to find B, and get there as quick as possible. It's a beautiful part. And hey, there is a part of that within making love. There can be. However, the absolute key to beautiful lovemaking and getting out of your head and into your body, which is definitely, hey, it brings so much pleasure to you as well. So it's not just for your queen to have a beautiful sexual intimate relationship together. Getting out of your head is make pleasure in the moment the goal, not orgasm. The orgasm happens if you ejaculate, if your queen comes, if she is screaming wild, you know, in 40 minutes time, in 10 minutes time, you and her together, whatever that supposed end point is, you know, lovemaking comes to an end at a point in whatever amount of time that you have and you like are consciously dedicating to that time block of being together. Make pleasure in the moment the goal, and don't be mentally going, you know, boom, 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 I've got to get my rocks off. And there's that end point. Or don't be there with, you know, I'm doing this with you now. Like your mind, your cranial brain is going, I'm doing this now, but like, is she getting turned on? You know, it's like, it's sort of like the natter in the background is like you're looking for signs. Again, there's this anxiety of, it's this Freudian sick thing, but it's because we related with our moms. It's like, is mommy happy yet? Is mommy happy yet? Like we get anxiety, emotionally anxious, and we bring that shit into our marriages, which, hey, it's okay, it's human. I did it. The vast majority of guys have done it, but like we got a break from that. Our queens want to have us there in the moment. They, on a deep level, they might like forget about like they might have complaints about like not getting there, you not doing stuff. But it's like their main complaint is you're not being present with them. So, getting present and practicing all of these points is actually the practice to make pleasure the goal, not the orgasm. But I want to explicitly put that there. That is your goal, guys. From the first moment that you kiss, from the first moment that you start planting seeds of sexuality, seeds of sexual connection, that you go from, hey, baby, we're doing this, you know, husband and wife, king and queen. You know, there's moments when you're doing the household. There's moments when you're doing the parenting. There's moments when you're doing the table. Like, well, start planting seeds of sexuality actually in those moments as well. But there is a moment when, hey, you know, we're getting it on now. Again, I'll just bring it within the context. You're already in the bedroom. Put your front and center attention on pleasure in this moment. Breathing deeply. Get sensual, get into my body, experience the sensual experience of sight, skin touch, hearing her moan, everything else, taste, smell, the whole lot. Get into your primal body, making eye contact, pleasure, activation, connection in that moment brings pleasure. Practice, allow it, give it time to bring pleasure. I know there can be inhibitions and that feel awkward, but practice. These are the practices. See them as practices to do. They can and will bring like great results quite quickly. Express with words exactly what you're loving in the moment. Remember, the goal is pleasure. It's like, oh, it's success. We're having success in the moment because I'm telling you, I'm feeling pleasure now. She's feeling this is successful. Again, it's not about the orgasm at the end. That is not the focus. It's like pleasure now, pleasure now. The whole beautiful thing of this is it's the quickest way to pretty much guarantee that there's going to be an explosive ejaculatory orgasm. If that's your practice, there's non-ejaculatory practices that are beautiful. And like your woman is going to be super pleasured by the end experience. But you will like pretty much guarantee that will happen if you paradoxically take your attention off that happening or not happening. And if she's going there or if you're going there or not in the moment. Stop thinking that. What are you feeling pleasure in the moment? I like it's been a revelation for me. Pleasure is the goal. My anxiety of like there's times when my cock is just not getting hard, or it's like semi-hard. It's just not going there. That has happened. And times it's like what has allowed me going, it's like, hey, I just start keep practicing all of these things, being in my body, like I'm breathing pleasure, I'm doing all of these things. And you know what? Lo and behold, 99% of the time, fucking my cock comes hard. I just needed to get out of my head, and there was a hardness in my body. I was too mentally activated. Maybe my practices, I hadn't done them during the day, or it was a super loaded, packed day. I'm in my head. That's the beautiful gift of making love. The beautiful gift of the feminine is bringing a man out of his head and into his body. But hey, that can take, at times for me personally, that can take like 10, 20 minutes. David Ayda speaks, and he was like, David Ayda, the way of the superior man, is like the granddaddy in modern masculine and feminine dynamics and teachings. He's like, make your love making at least 40, 45 minutes long, because he's like, it takes that much time to unknot the kinks of the system. What that means is like it takes 30, 40, 45 minutes to get out of your head and get into your body. So again, practice the pleasure, like penetrate super early, hump, 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 explosion. Guys, yeah, it's a cheap way, it's a quick way to get that, and there's none of the emotional vulnerability of meeting your queen in that space. If that's your only party trick, I mean, she probably has lost interest already. If some of you are like early on in your marriage, you might still be getting away with that. She will inevitably lose interest with that. Take that in the chin. For those of you that she has already lost interest a lot, or it's just not a nice experience, man, that's okay. I was there. Most guys are. These are the practices that will reinvigorate and help you strategically have exercises that you can do in the moment to get into your body that will have your woman feel safer and seen and heard and met in that experience, that will open her heart back up and will have her yearning you more and have her feeling, dude, where has this man been? Bring more of it, please. Beautiful, amazing, kingly brothers. This has been epic. I love this topic. I love this topic because, hey, this is an edge for me. I'm still practicing. I want to bring more and more of the podcast to the topic explicitly on lovemaking, on sexual expression. We all need support in this. I hold my hand up. I'm no different than you all. But why am I researching this week? Because when I research, and this is lots of stuff I've been put into practice, but I did like a couple of hours just looking at different teachers online. Simple YouTube 10-minute videos. It's amazing. You get like the whole wisdom of somebody in 10 minutes. Like it's like a ton of wisdom in 10 minutes. Do your research as well beyond this podcast. It's like research other teachers. It's in the research. Educate yourself. Educate comes from educare, which is to bring out that which lies within you. These are all practices, guys, that when you practice them, and do pick two or three of them that you are committing that the next time you get your sexual, sacred, kingly fuck energy going with your queen, that you bring these practices and practice them with that. Act as if you already are a master of it with that level of acted confidence. It will really support her meeting you there in that experience. But no, you know, these are ways to systematically unlock the sexual god that is in you. Your entire nervous system naturally has this inherent capacity to express love and to be like a sexual god in the bedroom, that when all the shame and all the trauma and all of those things that get you caught in your head to prevent you, the protective patterns to prevent you feeling emotional intensity and pain. When you practice these and you go beyond protective patterns and you get into your body and you practice exhalations and all of these things to be in your body, that helps your body's inherent, natural, godly sexual expression to come true bit by bit. Go ahead, Tiger. bring your primal sacred kidney fuck energy out through these practices. If they have worked for this previously, and still I have those patterns of trauma in my nervous system, if they have supported a guy like me that was so fucking green, was so inexperienced in lovemaking, brought so much fucking pain and suffering to it for so many years and was not working, if they work for me, you can bet your bottom dollar they will work for you. Try them all, trial them all, go at it, man. Start bringing the fire, bringing joy and confidence and courage and strategic fucking know-how. You know, you're now armed with potent tools that will work for you in the arena of your bedroom with your queen. I'm just wanting every single one of you, myself included, to start enjoying beautiful, deep sexual intimacy to the next level of what's available to us all individually and collectively. Kingly Brothers, expressing my love, my honoring for each and every single one of you. Every single time you listen in to another episode, you are doing sacred work, building the momentum in this expanding movement that's spreading across the globe. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.